Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday for another week of rock splitting politics. And it, what a week it's been. We see things just cracking up, falling apart. We see the president went out to Germany to the Brandenburg Gates once. Well, he didn't get to go last time he wanted to in 2008 as a candidate, but didn't get out that way because only sitting presidents could have that venue. So he went there, and guess what? Not too many people turned up. But that's not all we got to talk about. We got a lot of politics. We got immigration. There's an immigration bill that the Senate's beating their chest about. We are going to talk about that. I got some good information. We're going to hear some good information. And we got Senator Ted Cruz, some clips from him when he was on the Rush Limbaugh show. And we're also going to listen to some other hot political topics of the day. Got to talk to you some about what's going on in the Middle East. What's the president doing? And what's he talking about? What did he talk about the Brandenburg Gates? He talked about nuclear weapons, getting rid of more nuclear weapons when the whole world's burning up in the Middle East. And this is what he has to talk about. So we got a lot of politics to cover. And we got this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And it does go to President Barack Obama for something he's doing. It's a dual reward going to him and the foot kissers at the press, the Democratic Party cheerleaders. I mean, the mainstream media, with however you want to present it. But we'll talk about that and separate that out at the end of the show in this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And right now, let me just tell you about next week. We're going to have our July 4th special. Remember last year, you can go back and listen to the show. We talked about the Constitution and how the Constitution came into being with the Bill of Rights. We talked about that this year, July 4th special is going to be my American hero, Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes. We have an exclusive interview with Fred Hayes, and he's going to tell you something when Apollo 13 entered re-entry back in the atmosphere. Something happened that's never happened on any other spacecraft coming into re-entry. He'll tell you about that. So make sure you listen to the show next week with a great American hero, and tune in for that special July 4th week show. Now, let me go on with today's show. Let's get cranked up right now.
If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, I never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles.
And that's right, folks, from the perch right up here in Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We can see for miles and miles around us. We see the scandals going on. We see a Mideast policy that is imploding on itself. We see a foreign policy with Russia and China that America is giving all indications that we are weak. We will not stand by our friends. And Vladimir Putin of Russia is eating Barack Obama's lunch. Barack Obama he's given no respect by Putin or by China. They are eating our lunch. They would love nothing more than the American dollar to fall, and then America would be a second-rate country behind Russia and China and India. But could it happen? I sure hope not, but I tell you, we got a commander-in-chief, White House, who has squandered his timing on the Syria issue, and now, too late, too late in the ball game, he says he's going to give small arms to the Syrian rebels. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm for the Syrian rebels, and I'm not saying I'm against what Obama's doing. What I am saying is his timing is pathetic. A year ago, he said Assad would fall. He could have done things to help that fall. Now, Russia has supported Assad, and it's one of those things that, when Obama went to Germany, went to the Brandenburg Gates, got to make his speech that he couldn't make when he was a candidate, he talked about nuclear weapons and reducing the nuclear weapons. In the whole world, they're not listening. They don't care about that because they care about what's going on, and Obama's not addressing the needs of America. He's not addressing the needs of this world. Listen to what, on Fox News, what Charles Krauthammer had to say about the speech at the Brandenburg Gates.
The focus of President Obama's speech was a new call for arms reduction, a one-third reduction in the nuclear arsenals of the United States and Russia. What do you think of that?
The president is continually amazing. Of all the issues on earth, you got Syria ablaze, Jordan is reeling, Iran is going nuclear, Egypt is under the sway of the Brotherhood. You've got, you know, all these crises in the world. And what is the least important issue on the planet? Nuclear arms reduction. There is zero chance of nuclear war between the United States and Russia. It isn't even an issue. We already are in a nuclear balance. The idea that we're going to be any safer if we have 1,000 rather than 1,500 warheads is absurd. So why is he doing this? Number one, he's been obsessed with nuclear weapons and reducing them ever since he was a student at Columbia and thought that the freeze, which was the stupidest strategic idea of the 80s, wasn't enough of a reduction. And second, because I think that's all he's got. I mean, he has the famous reset with Russia, which has been a disaster. Russia is helping Iran. It's helping Assad. It's working against us on all of the fronts. And so he thinks he can actually distract the world and perhaps produce a treaty, which will mean nothing, as a way to say, I did something. I find it rather amazing that he would even try it, because it's not going to work.
Now, that was Charles Krauthammer, and I couldn't say it any better myself, and that's what I was talking about. President Obama's not focused. We're having our lunch. America's having its lunch eaten by Russia and China. They are running all over this spineless president. And somebody, oh, he's acting tough. If he wanted to act tough, he could have worked in Syria a year ago when something could be done. Now he's waited too late, and Russia is dug in its heels. It doesn't want Assad to fall. And Assad, over a year ago, our Secretary of Defense said he's going to fall. That, you remember that? And time again, members of the Obama administration said Assad is going to fall. He's gone. He's not gone. And the credibility of this administration and this government is failing. It's miserable. And the only thing that's keeping this president in office is the cheerleader press, Chris Matthews and many others who just keep cheerleading for the guy at disaster after disaster. How long would a Republican doing the things President Obama's doing, how long would they have lasted? How many times would the press have put him on, begged for impeachment? Absolutely astounding. But there is hope, and there's some things happening now on a limited, very limited scale. But down in Louisiana, in the South, there was a African-American state representative. His name is Elbert Guillory. And this is, listen to what he had to say. He has just switched parties right here, right now. And could this be a beginning? Sometimes when you think all hope is lost, you see some bold people step up. And I want you to listen to this clip of state representative, state of Louisiana representative, Elbert Guillory.
My name is Elbert Lee Guillory, and I'm the senator for the 24th district right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, to a conservative that believes in the principles that bring economic freedom, this is music to my ears that an African-American is willing. He's already elected. He has a constituency of African-Americans to help elect him, and he's willing to stand in front of them saying, I'm going to change parties. And they gave the reason why. And you can go to the YouTube and look him up and hear the whole 4 or 5 minute speech of why Senator Elbert Gillery switched parties from the Democratic Party to Republican Party just recently. Right here, right now. You're hearing things on Rock Split and Politics you may not hear anywhere else. And I'm telling you, there's a movement going on, and it may be minuscule, but it only takes a spark to get a fire going. You remember that? It's true. It only takes a spark. And if you're in a dry forest, if you're in a place where people are hungry and thirsty for freedom, where people are tired of the crumbs being thrown at them by the Democratic Party, Just maybe, this time, people, they'll cry out for economic freedom, and they're not getting it through the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party cares about how many benefits they can give you, and they want to keep no money in the bank. If you have money in the bank, you can't apply for these benefits. Economic freedom is when you have money in the bank. That's the conservative principles, conservative ideas. And if the Republican Party fails to stand strong, then, ladies and gentlemen, we may have to start a third party. Now's not the time to waver in the conservative movement. And those Republicans who keep stretching out and want to be Democrats, go ahead and join the Democratic Party. But do not mess up the core basic principles that bring about economic freedom for people all over the world. And it will happen right here in the United States again when people understand these principles. Now, in just a minute, we're going to go into our conversation about immigration reform. I want to spend a good amount of time on this because it's such an important topic. It's being pushed from all levels. So we're going to have a clip with Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. We've had his father on the show a couple of times, and as he talks to Rush Limbaugh, we're going to listen a little of that. I'll give you my comments on it. Before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you. Let me remind our new listeners, go back and look in the archives. We've got some great shows, great interviews. Go back and listen and learn. And as we teach principles of economic freedom, as we teach those things that will make people more free, more productive, and make the pursuit of happiness a happy experience, an experience, a journey that is worth going down. And this journey of economic freedom, this journey, the pursuit of happiness, is good for you, your family, it's good for America, and that is not the direction we're going. This country is going in the wrong direction, but you're hearing right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, the things you need to know, the important things we'll cover week after week. And if you don't listen to the show, you're going to miss some things that are very important for your education, your well-being. You're going to miss things that will get you enthusiastically standing up and shouting and not giving up, like so many people feel like they want to do now. It's like they want to go into depression. So listen to us, and be sure to listen to our good friends at Freedom Works. You can go there. I got on the front page there, Matt Kibbe, president of Freedom Works. Go there and find out what you can do. They help grassroots organizations better than any other group that I know of right now, right here in America. And don't forget to go to our webpage, order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. That helps keep us on the air. We appreciate those who have ordered it. Some of you need to get your friends a copy of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Go to our website. Just go to our homepage, hit the website. It'll take you there. It'll tell you how to order the book. And got some more good conservative books right there that you can order. We appreciate you doing that. Now, let's get ready for our part of the show on immigration reform. Now, on this immigration bill that's before the Senate, and we're talking about in both houses of Congress, let me just give you a... Let me let you visualize Marco Rubio and Senator Chuck Schumer. And this is Senator Chuck Schumer. What would he say to Marco Rubio? Well, if we could put it in song, I believe this is the song that Senator Schumer is singing to his new good friend, Senator Marco Rubio. Let's take a listen.
Hey, sweet baby, don't you think, baby, we could find us a brand new recipe? I got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. That's soda pop and the dancing's free, so if you want to have fun, come along with me. Say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up?
Now, that song from Hank Williams, not Hank Williams Jr., the original Hank Williams, made that song famous. Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? Well, that is exactly what I think about when I think about the immigration reform bill. Because Senator Chuck Schumer pushing this bill got a new friendship with Senator Marco Rubio. And I've told you before on this show, I admire Marco Rubio. I admire him taking on this immigration debate, and I admire him working to get an immigration bill. But the one thing we cannot do is go back and look at what happened in 1986. There was promised that there would be a security on the border once we let 3 million people have amnesty. 3 million illegal immigrants were given amnesty in 1986. And then the borders were going to be secure, correct? Well, deja vu. What are we doing here? Now, in 2013, they say, let's give 11 million. We think 11 million, maybe 15, 20 million. We don't know. Nobody knows. Let's give whatever the number is. Let's say conservatively 11 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, did not come through by the laws that are written by this nation. And let's give them amnesty, and then they say, we'll secure the borders. Have we not been through this before? There is a need. We have a broken system. We must get some kind of immigration bill to have a better nation. But we cannot say we'll give amnesty and then secure the borders. It didn't happen in 1986. Some of the same senators, Senator Grassley, other senators who were there, the original bill was done, said it didn't work before. What is different? What's different is you got new senators that weren't there before, Senator Chuck Schumer, and now he's getting Marco Rubio on the bandwagon, and Marco Rubio saying the borders will be secure. Look, we had the Congressional Budget Office said everybody wants to use their numbers, and they said that with the security borders, with the new security measures in place, we would knock down 25% of their illegal immigration problem. 25%. That means 75% of illegal immigrants will continue to pour across our borders. Listen, you can talk about an 800-page bill, a 1,000-page immigration bill. It'll have all kind of good things in there. But if you don't secure the borders, there should not be a bill. There should not be a new law if we cannot secure the borders. Border security must come first. That's Doc Holliday's perspective on this whole issue. And Marco Rubio, he's being wooed and he's being put out there in the front. He's been placed in an uncomfortable position. But if he is bold, he will get his colleagues of the Gang of Eight there in the United States Senate, get them to make sure that we have to have amendments to this bill that says we have border security before amnesty ever takes place. And they all say, well, it's not amnesty. What is it? Whatever you want to call it. But secure the borders before we can proceed. And if we're not going to secure the borders, then this bill should not see the light of day. There's a lot of good aspects of it, and we must pursue this a new way, because this what we have now is definitely broken. But we cannot push what happened in 1986. It's deja vu all over again. Wow. Well, let me get to this some clips. What I want to do is play some things from our Hispanic senator from Texas, Ted Cruz. We've had his father on this show before, and he did do an interview with Rush Limbaugh on Rush's show, and Rush got a few more listeners than we do. But as you tell your friends and neighbors, we'll get some more listeners. But we're going to play a little of this clip from Rush, and then I'm going to comment on it and see what you think.
Now we'd like to welcome to the program for the first time freshman senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, who wants to weigh in on a number of things, including the Gang of Eight immigration bill. Senator, welcome. It's great to have you here, sir.
Rush, it's great to be with you. Thank you for your clarion voice for liberty every single day.
Thank you, sir. We had a great interview with Senator Cruz in the Limbaugh letter not long ago, so I have spoken to him on a previous occasion. And, sir, you're the real deal. You're fearless. You're a freshman. You're acting like you've been there three terms.
Well, as you know, a lot of Americans are fed up. They're fed up with Democrats, and they're fed up with Republicans. They're fed up with politicians in Washington who don't stand for anything. And it's how we've gotten in this mess. It's how we've gotten $17 trillion in debt. And if we keep doing business as usual, it's how we're going to pass yet another amnesty bill that doesn't fix the problem. And I think Americans are really fed up with.
Now, isn't that refreshing to hear Senator Ted Cruz talk about Americans being fed up, Republicans and Democrats? They're fed up with both parties. And Senator Ted Cruz, just like Rush said, he's been there 6 months and he acts like he's been there for three terms, because he is fearless. And we've had Rafael Cruz, Ted's father, on this show and speaking to us and letting us know. And one thing that Rafael Cruz told us said, "My son, Ted, he will not back down." Isn't it wonderful to see somebody standing toe-to-toe with the foes of freedom and not backing down? And he gets called all kind of names. He gets called wacko by Senator John McCain. And all of a sudden, people, he's making waves when the liberal press just keeps coming out with all kind of attacks against this young freshman Hispanic senator from the state of Texas. So when he says people are fed up, it's good to see somebody that's willing to stand up. And Rush asked him about this, and he calls it the amnesty bill. And that's what we're talking about. You're giving amnesty, and then you don't want to secure the borders. And let's go on and play another clip right here.
This Gang of Eight bill is a disaster. It is the exact same thing we saw in 1986. The last big immigration reform was 1986, and the federal government told the American people, we're going to grant amnesty for the 3 million people who are here illegally. And in exchange for that, we're actually going to secure the borders, we're going to solve illegal immigration, the problem's going to go away. Now, we saw what happened. The amnesty happened, the borders never got secured, and now 3 decades later, instead of 3 million people, it's 11 million people.
Is it 11 or is it? Do we really know how many it is?
We don't know. I mean, the estimates vary, 11 million, 12 million. We don't have an exact number. but it is 3 to 4 times bigger than what it was in 1986, and we're hearing the exact same empty promises. What the Gang of Eight bill does is it grants legalization now. It takes everyone who's here illegally and says, you're legal, and then just like 1986, it promises sometime in the future, trust us, wink, wink, we'll secure the border.
That's Senator Ted Cruz who just said, trust us, wink, wink, and we'll secure the border. But that's what the United States government said in 1986. It did not happen. What makes us think that this administration, this government, would secure the border? What makes us think they would? Senator Ted Cruz just nails it on the head. There's one thing I like. He does his homework. He knows how to speak. He knows how to put it into truthful terms. And that is what's holding up this entire bill, is we do not secure the borders before legalization takes place. Absolutely disaster waiting to happen if this bill is passed as it is. Now, one of the things, when I think the immigration bill started out at 800 pages, it's gone to over 1,000 pages. You remember what happened with the Obamacare and the Health Care Act, how it kept adding pages, and then Nancy Pelosi had stood up and said, we have to pass this bill so we'll know what's in it? What kind of ridiculous argument was that? And look what the mess this country is into. And one of the provisions they're finding out in the immigration bill now is that they will deny Obamacare to the illegal immigrants who become legal under this bill. But what happens? They give incentives for employers to hire the illegal immigrants who become legal. Let me just state it bluntly. The United States, a lot of business owners, corporations, want the ability not to have to pay Obamacare for their employees. So who are they going to hire? Americans who need jobs, where unemployment rate is so unhealthy, still over 7%. It's gone up. And now what will happen? The new legal status immigrants will be preferred over American workers who have been struggling for jobs now since 2008. How ridiculous can it be? How can American voters not understand this? Because they haven't heard it, because the press is doing everything to lay in the lapdog of, they're just lapdogs for this president. And that moves us right into the last segment of this week's show, and that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And who does it go to? I told you it goes to President Obama and the media. For what? Because the president's upcoming family trip to Africa. Now, any president should be able to go establish ties and work with other nations. I think it's wonderful, and it lays groundwork for good relationships and business relationships to be built. But in this day and age when the president shut down tours of the White House under the sequester, and now they found over $100 million to take this family vacation trip to Africa, going to cost over $100 million. Do we not have a king and queen? Is that what we have? The king and queen of America going over to Africa, spending $100 million for a vacation? Yes, they may shake a few hands and forge some friendships. And there's a place for that. But for $100 million, and who knows about it? Could you imagine the press if George Bush went over, took his family, and Bush did go to Africa? And he gave away $25 billion to the African nations. But did it cost $100 million? I don't think so. And then you would see outcries from the media anytime George Bush would, if he played golf, if he did anything. This president gets none of that from the lapdog mainstream media. And that's why it's the dual combination, the president and his vacation to Africa, taking his family, the entourage, all the security. Yes, we know it's going to be security. Did you know that he was supposed to go on a safari, and then the Secret Service was talking about having to put sharpshooters out in trees, and if any wild animal, a cheetah or something got anywhere near, even close, within a mile of the president, they were going to shoot and kill that wild animal. And so the host government said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we can't have sharpshooters shooting down all these the wild game. And so the president, I think they backed off the safari. But listen, what this president spends and when we have austerity, it's just unbelievable. This press does not talk about the spending habits of this first family. And I'm sorry to say that anybody has a right to go in places, and we're glad we got a first lady that's attractive and gets her message across. But at the same time, $100 million to go on a vacation? Come on, folks. Where's the outcry? And that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And we need a media that will investigate. And like I've said before, if we have a dying media, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and maybe they should die off, because I don't see anything but cheerleaders for the far left. And that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Let me remind you, next week we do have a great American hero from Apollo 13, astronaut Fred Hayes. We've got an exclusive interview with Fred Hayes. And like I said, he'll tell you something about as Apollo 13, as the three astronauts re-entered the atmosphere. He'll tell you something I'd never heard before. It's not in a movie, and it's something that you'll hear right here exclusively on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We got a special next week for our 4th of July week. Don't miss that, as you'll hear from a great American hero. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. We're growing because of you. We're going to keep the message up of what you need to do, being conservatives, being empowered with the voice of the people, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.